This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 6th of June 2021. Today we delve into amateur radio contesting and we'll tell you about Aussie and international contests that are coming up in the next couple of months, including a contest that was new in 2020, and it's a contest that creates a level playing field for all contestants. That's an interesting concept, and Mike will tell us all about it later on. News West is heard on air, online, and on demand. Find out how at our website, vk6.net. Sadly, we heard this week of the passing of John Howlett, VK6ZN, and unfortunately it was a bit late in the week to put together a story about John. I'd like to say a bit more about him, and I'll do so in next week's program. Meanwhile, I'd really appreciate any stories or information about John. Please send your stories to newswest@vk6.net.
Well, it's time to do some real operating and get chasing those elusive VK Shires. The VK Shires, the rules for the 2020 VK Shires contest, were extensively revised to provide a more enhanced operator experience in the COVID-19 situation. Operation on the 160 metres band were added, and there was a new start time, but the major change was that reworking stations is now allowed in 4-hour blocks. The rules for these blocks are, however, somewhat different to what is in a John Moyle Memorial Field Day or VHF-UHF Field Day use, so read the rules carefully. The start time, midnight UTC, on Saturday, the 12th of June 2021, and finishes 23:59 UTC, Saturday, the 12th of June 2021. In the past, the convener, Trent VK4TS, reported that the low bands are really firing with conditions coming off on the high bands. Typically, in low sunspots, 40 metres comes into its own and 80 metres opens up well. Being an SSB and CW contest gives added interest as you are not locked into one mode. So, warm up the linear, break out the voice keyers, load up the software, get your sandwiches and coffee ready to enjoy the VK Shires QSO Party 2021. Some update information is becoming available on the WIA website, so keep a watch out. Better late than never, after all.
The Winter VHF UHF Field Day in 2021 is coming up soon, on Saturday the 26th through Sunday the 27th of June. It's a 24-hour contest, beginning at 0100 UTC in the rest of Australia, and here in Western Australia, it begins at 0400 UTC. The first VHF UHF Field Day was run as a trial in January 1989. It was quite well received, so it has continued since then. In 1998, there was a trial Spring Field Day, which also proved a success. Support for the field days continued to increase, and a third event, the Winter VHF UHF Field Day, was introduced in 2008. In 2014, the WIA board decided that the contest should be run with two parallel sets of rules and scoring systems. John Martin, VK3 Kilo Mike, departed as contest manager after the Winter 2014 event. Since the Winter 2019 event, the field days have used a single set of rules, using distance-based scoring as per the previous Division 2 rules. This resulted from the clear preference of participation and log entries moving to Division 2 over Division 1 across the prior year. The VHF, UHF field days provide VHF and UHF operators with the opportunity to head for the hills, go bush, and otherwise get out and about to see how many stations they can work. Perth is an ideal spot for VHF and UHF contests, because it's on a coastal plain with a 300-metre high escarpment running sort of parallel to and inland from the coast, with most of the metro area between the coast and the escarpment, providing opportunity to perch on the side of the hills and work any station on the flats. The field day have separate section for single and multiple operator stations. The duration of the field day is 24 hours, but there are also 8-hour sections for operators who may not be able to camp overnight. Most club stations prefer to operate for the full 24 hours. The field days also generate plenty of activity from home stations, so there is also a separate home station section. All contacts must be simplex. Contacts through repeaters or satellites are not allowed. There is plenty of FM activity, but one feature of the field days is a high level of SSB activity. It is possible to do very well with only a modest antenna if you pick up a good hilltop. Another option, if your station is easily transportable, is to operate from more than one location during the contest period. It would pay you to look through the rules, which can be found in the contest section of the WIA website.
We've told you a lot about Perth Tech already. It's on Saturday, the 23rd of October, with workshops on the Sunday. And we've told you that Saturday's proceedings will be topped off with a sundowner at the venue, where we can socialise and wind down with some food and a beverage. There'll be a $10 extra charge for the sundowner, and you'll buy your own drinks at the bar. Perth Tech is free, however. We're charging $20 to cover the cost of your lunch and a couple of other things. However, the cost of staging the day, including bringing presenters to Western Australia from interstate, is carried by WIA Amateur Radio News. But how do we do that? Well, we can do it because we get the money from you. Rather than sell you a boring old entry ticket, we run a raffle. The first prize of this year's raffle is an ICOM 705 portable SDR transceiver, complete with backpack, valued at a bit under $2,000. Perth Tech's still a fair way off yet, so the best thing you can do about it is to block out your calendar so that you won't be disappointed by being double booked by your significant other to attend Aunt Myrtle's third wedding or something similar. Remember the date, make it sacred and immutable to your calendar. Saturday, October the 23rd for Perth Tech, and the Sunday, 24th, for workshops.
This is News West from VK6 ARN.
The NZART Memorial Contest has been held every year since 1946 to commemorate those New Zealand amateur radio operators who lost their lives in World War II. The contest is held every year on the Saturday and Sunday of the first weekend of July, and so this year is on Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th of July. This contest is a bit different. It works civilised hours for the Kiwis. It runs for 3 hours only on each of the days, in 3 one-hour blocks, from 0800 to 1100 UTC. That's 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the Kiwi cousins. However, for us here in WA, that's 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. You need to hope that 80 metres starts its run early in the evening for VK6 stations to get any joy from this contest, as 80 is the only band in use for the contest. It's on 80 metres only. A station may be contacted twice during each operating period, once on SSB and once on CW, provided that contacts are not consecutive. The operator categories are mixed mode, SSB and CW, CW only and SSB only. The scoring is 1 point per SSB contact, 2 per CW contact, and multipliers are applied for each different ZL, VK or South Pacific callsign prefix worked on SSB and CW. This contest is fully supported by N1MM, a logger, and VK, contest logger. Electronic logs in Cabrillo format are preferred, but other plain text, MS Word or MS Excel formats, or even paper logs will be accepted if they comply with the sample printable PDF log sheet, which is available on the NZART website. You should visit the NZART website to see the rules and other information, and that's nzart.org.nz.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's June bulletin to go to air. And don't forget, too, that the next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the ROTC is at the Bayswater Hotel, Bayswater, and it's just 2 days away on Tuesday, June the 8th, starting at around midday, and the buffet is back on the menu once again. This month's programme starts with the latest club news, after which Ian, VK3JS, has some follow-up information on last month's story about the World War II Joan Eleanor secure VHF espionage communication system. Next, Ian tells us about car exhaust exposure and mental health, after which Bruce, VK3UV, has an item entitled Calling Mrs. Boy, the only female Australian coast watcher in World War II. Everyone's most welcome to listen in tomorrow and to join in the callbacks afterwards. The monthly bulletin is transmitted on a wide range of times, modes and frequencies, all of which can be found on the ROTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google ROTC broadcasts. Tomorrow, as well as the 20-metre SSB transmissions on 14.150 MHz at 00 and 0100 hours UTC, that's 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. WA local time, there are other more local transmissions as well. At 9 a.m. there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. Also at 9 a.m, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz. At 10 a.m, there's a transmission via the NewsWest linked repeater system, simultaneously with one on 40 metres on 7088 kHz, again by Chris, VK6JI. On Wednesday, June the 9th, we have a D-Star broadcast at 5:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted on D-Star Reflector 91C and will follow the D-Star newsline. Additionally, on the Sunday following the first Monday of the month, repeats of the ROTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA News. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the ROTC website. If you do listen this way, some brief feedback comment would be appreciated. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the June ROTC Bulletin, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks afterwards. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
The IARU HF World Championship Contest is an amateur radio contest that is open to all licensed amateurs worldwide. The object of the contest is to contact as many other amateurs, especially IARU Member Society HQ stations around the world, as possible using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metre bands. The contest is on the second full weekend of July, beginning 1200 UTC Saturday the 10th and ending at 1159 UTC Sunday the 11th of July. There's a multitude of entry categories for this event, too many to list here, but broadly stations may be single or multiple operator, QRP, low or high power, and a mix of bands and modes. Both single and multi-operator stations may operate the entire 24-hour period. If you're not familiar with this contest, it would pay you to visit the website to read the rules and to determine which logging program you should use. A good thing about these international contests is that you get to see what the propagation conditions are like. Take a look at the ARRL website and search for IARU HF Championships.
Hey, you going to do this thing, the Portable Operations Challenge?
I'm not sure. Don't the big stations always win these things?
No, not this one. They level this all up by how they score the contacts.
Well, I bet the big boys are sweating a bit now.
The little stations have a chance if they're a good operator.
But I'm in. Can we do it anywhere outdoors?
Yeah, that's why it's the Portable Operations Challenge.
Let's just go and show them what the small station can do.
It'll really set the cat amongst the pigeons.
Radio sport and a level playing field, I call that.
Radio sport is about competition, and you've been challenged. See foxmycoattail.com/challenge for details.
If you've listened to us rabbit on about the lack of balance between us and them over east, you'll find we're not alone in the world. Here's someone else's take on how to get even in an unbalanced world. The second year of a contest has been announced that will level the competitive playing field between the big guns and the little pistols who operate at portable stations. It's called the Fox Mike Hotel Portable Operations Challenge. The scoring metric is the distance per power metric with multipliers for portable operators and the difficulty of the transmission mode, said Bill Lippert, ACOW, a member of the steering committee for the POC. We are using kilometres per watt as the score for a contact, but those using a more difficult transmission mode, such as phone, will get a higher multiplier than those using the more efficient modes of CW and digital. Being a portable station will receive an additional multiplier, especially when contacting another portable station. The scoring system is based upon the golf metaphor of the handicap index used to equalize the opportunity for all players to win when they have unequal ability and play on courses with varying levels of difficulty. It reflects a formal theory for the radio sport competition, unlike most amateur radio contests. The Portable Ops Challenge is the brainchild of Frank Howell, K4FMH, who I hear many operators who get outdoors and try to dip their hands in a conventional contest may say two things. They enjoyed the competition, and it's a shame that the big guns, for us, read them over there, dominate the realistic chances of winning. That's simply the way it is in the vast majority of contests. But it made my portable ops team think, is there a way to level the playing field? They may have come up with something worth giving a go, Frank K4MH said. I'd say the question is whether the big guns can actually win using the handicap system that the steering committee has produced. With this scoring metric, it's more about radio sport than radio gear. Scheduled for September the 4th and 5th, 2021, the POC rules and other relevant documents are located at foxmikehotel.com/challenge. Have a look, see, and perhaps we can consider such a contest in VK land.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
The Radio Amateur Society of Australia's newsletter, QTC Lite, was published on Friday. It contains interesting news for Aussie amateurs. One item concerns ARPANSA's release of a new Australian radio wave safety standard. ARPANSA is the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency. There's been some confusion, possibly read scaremongering, in amateur radio circles in recent times regarding EMR and Australian standards. The Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency has today released a new radio wave safety standard that offers strong health protection for all Australians. You can read all the details of that release by following a link in the newsletter. In summary, for foundation and standard license holders, you'll be compliant if your antennas are inaccessible to members of the public, for instance, behind a fence. For advanced licensees, any beams should be at least 10 metres above the ground, and you should be operating within your power limits. Why would the ACMA, who intend to reduce regulatory burden on amateurs, require amateurs to produce complex calculations showing compliance with the standard? Amateurs are required to comply with the ARPANSA standards using the methodology described at the vkregs.info, a website. Again, the link is on the newsletter. There's no evidence to suggest that this arrangement will change under a class license. And just repeating for you, the standard and foundation stations actually comply with level 1 standards automatically as long as their antennas are behind a fence or some other exclusion to stop the public getting in there and RF burning themselves. For advanced stations, given that the average power produced by a 400 watt single side transmitter is less than 100 watts, if you operate at no more than 100 watts on FM or any other mode with a carrier or high duty cycle, FT8 for example, and your antenna is behind a fence, you will comply with level 1. If your station complies with level 1, there's no requirement to keep records. There's more in QTC Lite. If you don't receive this newsletter each month, you can find it at the Radio Amateur Society of Australia's website, vkradioamateurs.org.
Trans-Tasman Low Bands Challenge is held on the third weekend in July, and its aim is to encourage low band activity between VK and ZL. The next contest is on 17th of July 2021. The only bands allowed are 160, 80 and 40 metres, with three modes being single sideband, CW, that's Morse, and digital, RTTY or PSK. This contest is an official WIA contest and will count towards the Peter Brown Contest Champion Awards. The aim of the contest is to work as many VK and ZL prefixes and as many different stations on 160, 80 and 40 metres in a short evening contest. The Trans-Tasman Low Band evolved from a multi-mode series of contests that were conducted over several winter evenings. The contest start time is 0800 UTC and finish time is 1400 UTC. So, that's only 6 hours of contesting, and you'll still have time for a beverage before you go to bed. The contest is made up of three individual 2-hour blocks, and you're able to work another station once per band and mode in every block. And here's where the fun starts. Every different prefix used by VK or ZL stations is a valid multiplier, and credit can be claimed once per band per block. So you're awarded for working stations from further afield by accumulating multipliers within each 2-hour block. A useful strategy in the early part of the 2-hour block would be to build up your multipliers to give you a better accumulation of points. So how about it? Dust off your long antennas, or go bush if you don't have room for long antennas, and have a bash at the Trans-Tasman. Details are available on the WIA website, wia.org.au. The applicable bands again are 160, 80 and 40 metres. The objective is for amateurs in VK and ZL to endeavour to contact other amateurs in VK and ZL. VK and ZL means any station operating within Australia or New Zealand and their external territories. Points are only awarded for valid contacts between VK and ZL stations. The contest is made up of three individual 2-hour blocks, and you are able to work another station once per band and mode in every block. 73s.
Next week, News West will be showcasing a bit of amateur radio history. We do try to focus on Western Australian history, however it gets sort of scarce after a while. Our main sources of amateur radio history stories have been the historical amateur radio magazines scanned by Will VK6UU and the National Library of Australia's Trove website. Something becomes glaringly apparent when trawling through these sources. What's apparent is that there are gaps. There were long periods, for instance, where VK6 notes in the amateur radio magazine were scant and even simply non-existent. I'd hate to see our history lost. What are your memories of how things were in the past? Significant achievements, developments, etc. What stories do you have to contribute? We'd love to put your recollections or your research discoveries to air. Just send what you find as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
Greetings once again, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy, VK6, X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 6th of June. Halfway through the year already, my goodness me, doesn't the time fly? And today, what are we looking for? Help for Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, looking for a transmitting tube, type 3-500 Zulu Golf, amplified tube. If you can help him, must be in excellent working order. Please ring Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo. His telephone number, 0407-030-592. Again, that's 0407-030-592. And next item, I haven't heard whether we were successful in getting some help for Bob Howard, VK6 Hotel Juliet, lives in Ballajura, looking for some help in setting up a receiving station or receiving equipment in his shack. He has some disability problems and would dearly like to see some help, even just get on VHF. I haven't heard whether anything's come of this, but if you'd like to contact Jeff, 0428-712-271. Jeff, 0428-712-271. Give Bob Howard a bit of a hand in Ballajura area. Thank you. Next item, Malcolm, VK6 Lima Charlie, has the following antennas available. He has an 80-metre two-phase vertical array. Operating bandwidth is 500 kilohertz and 2 kilowatts power rated. Information and drawing is available. Comes complete with 96 radials, 100 metres of RG213 coax, special remote, switchable controlling unit, and approximately 1.5 dB broadside gain, typical 20 dB front-to-back ratio. And installation drawings are provided, asking $1,000. We'll separate if required, make him an offer. The second antenna is a 20-metre, 4-square vertical array, operating bandwidth 300 kHz, 2 kilowatts PEP rated. Once again, has 96 radials, including aluminium base plate, etc., 8 guy points, and all the gear there. 213 coaxial cable, remote Comtech ACB 20-amp switchable, or that's 20A, I don't know if it's 20-amp or not, switchable special controller, 1 kilowatt dummy load, enclosed as well. Front-to-back ratio is 20 dB over 120 degrees. Insulation drawings provided, $600. We'll separate into units if you so desire. Separate into single verticals if required. Make an offer on that one. Antenna 3 is a 30-metre, 40-metre quarter-wave length aluminium tapered tubing. It's a rotary dipole for 30 metres and 40 metres, rated at 2 kilowatts also, complete anti-sway balance harness and Dacron 6mm guys, etc. 30-metre length. All these items can be viewed on QRZ.com, http://www.qrz.com/db/VK6 Lima Charlie. Installation drawings provided for that one as well. $250 is the asking price for that one. Contact Malcolm for those antennas. VK6 Lima Charlie. That's his email address as well. VictorKilo6LimaCharlie@optusnet.com.au. Thank you. Did also have a QMAC HF90 SSB transceiver available for $700. I don't know whether that's still available or not, but you can contact Steve for that one. His email address is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo Figure 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo Figure 6 Victor Zulu at tangopapagolf.com.au. That's all I have for you this morning, and thank you for listening. 7-3 from VK6XRay Victor. If you want anything for next week, please email me. The email's address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Thank you, 7-3.
Thanks for listening. I hope we've enthused you to get out there and have a go at some of the contests, if not all of them. Contesting can be fun. Even if all a contest means to you is an excuse for a bit of an amateur radio binge, whatever it takes. Thanks to the team this week, Mike, Roy, Jeff and Andrew, who wrote up some of the scripts for me, as I was a bit distracted this week. I've given Jeff next week off, but only on half pay, so I guess you'll have to hear more of me droning on. Thanks to the broadcast team for their sterling efforts every week, and for those who assist in collecting the callbacks. And remember, if callbacks don't happen, jump onto the VK6.net website and record yours there. There's a big blue button you can click on. The weather's been a bit nippy lately, so the best way to keep warm is to stoke up the linear, then get on air and make some noise.